ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்ஜோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். கணானாம் த்வா கணபதிகும் ஹவாமஹே கவிம் கவீனாம் உபமஸ்தவஸ்தம் ப்ரஹ்மணாம் ப்ரஹ்மணஸ்பத ஆனஶ்ரம்மன்னோதிபிஃ சீத ஸாதனம் ஸ்ரீ மஹாகணாதிபதயே நமஹ. சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரியமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஜாயே உத்தானபாதஸ்ய சுநீதிஸ்ருசிஸ்தயோஃ சுருசிப்ரேயசீ பத்யுஃ நேதராயத் சுபோத்ருவஹ. சோ வி ஸ்டார்டட் தி ஸ்டோரி. உத்தானபாத இஸ் மேரீட் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் டு எ லேடி கால்ட் சுநீதி, a woman of very high moral qualities. And then they had a son, Yatsuto Dhruvaha. The names are very interesting. Dhruva means the changeless, which is the reality. You see, one has to learn to look for the changeless in the changeful, to look for the permanent in the transient. So, such a one will gain Ishvara, will know the truth. So that is what Dhruva is. His name suggests that. Anyway, then even after some time, Uttanapada, being what he is, given to a lot of arrogance and pride. That is what Uttanapada is. Very worldly person. The worldly people are like that. They are very arrogant and proud of their accomplishments and highly egoic. But unfortunately, the worldly accomplishments have a very heavy downside. In fact, a philosopher says, all great men are bad. That is what a philosopher says. You can verify if you wish. His name is Acton, A-C-T-O-N, Acton. All great men are bad. That is what he says. The idea is not that we should abhor greatness. That is not the point. What he means is great men means the worldly people, the worldly accomplishments. So they have a very heavy downside. So, see, there was a noble sitting on a throne. And then he hears some sound on the roof. So he looks out through the window and shouts, where are the guards who are protecting him? The guards reply, we are on the roof. What are you doing on the roof? So we are searching for our camels. How is it that you are searching for camels on the rooftops? Then they say, yeah, while sitting on the throne, you are aspiring to gain Ishvara, same as we are searching for camels on the rooftops. That is what they reply. So you got the point? So the worldly accomplishments will have a very heavy, heavy downside to it, to them. And so they are not very comfortable, they are not very conducive for spiritual knowledge and wisdom. Generally, people of spiritual wisdom are very docile, meek, and very obliging, highly patient, and serving others, respecting even the lowest of the lowly. That is how spiritually wise people are. They are not arrogant at all. Anyway, this Uttanapada, he is being what he is married to another lady called Suruchihi, having all the qualities of a worldly woman. The name is like that. Having all good tastes, Suruchihi, which is taste, you know. Good taste means she knows how to dress, she knows how to adorn herself with all kinds of right kind of jewels and all that. she knows how to keep this gentleman Uttarapada under her fist. So something like that. So that is the meaning of Suruchi. Ekada Suruche Putra Mankamarok Jalalayan Uttamam Naruksantam Dhruvam Raja Bhajanandata. So Dhruva is the eldest son of the king. And eventually, according to the laws of monarchy, even monarchy follows certain conventions, you know. Dhruva will come to the throne. He will become the next king. Whatever may be the love Uttanapada has for Suruchi, he cannot make Suruchi's son the king, while Dhruva is active and healthy and he is around. If Dhruva goes away from there, then Suruchi's son has a chance. This is a very tricky situation, not very favorable to Suruchi. And her son, whose name is Uttama. Here, like Kaikeyi and Bharata, Bharata is a good guy. He is not greedy. And he is not power-mongering. He is a very simple and nice person. But it is his mother who is seeking all power for her son. So this is how parents try to fulfill their grandiose desires through the children. This is there at all times. In Ramayana we have, in Dhruvopakhyanam we have, in modern times also we have. That is the source of all conflict in family life. So, instead of giving our love to the children, we want to give our thoughts to the children. And when children, they refuse to adopt our thoughts, so what is good for them, we feel we know. How do we know? That is arrogating too much for oneself, you know. How do you know what is good for them? Whatever is good for you may not be good for them. Whatever is good in your generation may not be good in the next generation. So some kind of an openness is necessary. Anyway, I was digressing a little, but coming back to the point. So her son, Suruchi, has the son Uttama. Now the king, Uttanapada, always visits Suruchi's palace. Like Dasharatha visiting Kaikeyi's palace. In Ramayana also you see a similar situation. Dasharatha is always found in Kaikeyi's palace or court, never in Kausalya's palace, never. So, same way here. And so, Uttanapada, either he is to be found in the court, so attending to the matters of governance, or when it is time to relax, he goes to Suruchi's palace. And in the palace, a high throne-like sofa is there. And he sat on that. He is the king, you know. And he is relaxing. Then while he was relaxing, his son, that Uttama, he came and he climbed the steps of the throne, or throne-like sofa, throne-like seat. It will have steps to climb. And so this Uttama, he climbed the steps and then he sat on the thigh, in the lap of the king. Then Dhruva came there. You see, the mothers, Suruchi and Suniti, they don't visit each other, obviously. They are what is called Sapatni. Sapatni means having the same husband. Samanaha Patihi. Husband is the same for both women. Naturally, they could remain friendly, but in this case, as in many such cases of polygamy, there is no love lost between the two. Suruchi doesn't give any respect to Suniti. And also, she sees Suniti indirectly, and Suniti's son, Dhruva, directly, as a major obstacle for her ambition. So, that is a situation ripe for conflict. That's why this story has all the elements of that Adharma Vamshavalihi, all the elements it has. and so that is how it develops. That's why the poet gave the lineage of adharma first, and then he is building up the story. Simple story, very well known to people. Anyway, and then tatha chikirshamanantam sapatnyastanayam dhruvam suruchi shrunvato rajnyah shershyama hati garvita. These boys, they don't have any animosity between them. Children are like that. Children play together always. You see, once I have witnessed a scene, very interesting scene. The two children are playing some game, and then two children were fighting with each other. And immediately, their mothers came and stopped them fighting, and eventually the mothers started fighting, saying that your child is very arrogant, he attacked my son, like that. The mothers started. When the mothers are fighting with each other, their husbands, they cannot keep quiet. How dare can they keep quiet when the wife is having a battle with their son? They cannot keep quiet. And so they waited for some reasonable time, and then they joined the fray, and they also entered into the fray of mutual recrimination or fighting. Very interestingly, the fight was going on between the families, but the children are again playing together. They forgot about their fight. They are playing. Children are playing. The elders are fighting. Anyway, so that is how children are. Very innocent. They fight in this minute. Next minute, they join hands again. So, Dhruva visits Suruchi's parents, because he plays with Uttama, brother, half-brother. And then the father is there too. Dhruva is the elder son. And so when Dhruva entered and saw father and came running to father, Uttama went up the steps and sat in the lap of the father. So Dhruva wants to do the same thing. He wants to occupy the throne and also the lap of the father. He is going up the steps and trying to find some place in the lap of the father, already which was occupied fully by Uttama. Then Suruchi saw. She saw. The king was about to take Dhruva also into his lap, but then suddenly saw Suruchi entering the scene, so he held back. He just remained quiet. He did not encourage Dhruva anymore, because he doesn't want Dhruva to be disturbed. So he can encourage Dhruva at some other time, no, not now, while Suruchi is watching the whole thing. And so he kept quiet. But Dhruva is pushing forward. Chikirshamanantam. He is pushing forward. He is not holding back. Because he is an innocent child, you know. And so Suruchi became very angry. And she was very arrogant, very spiteful, Suruchi. And so she is talking. Navatsa rupater dhishnyam bhavanarodhumarahati na gruhito mayayatvam kukshavapin rupatmajaha. You know what she says? Dear son, it is not your turn to go and sit there. Because her worry is, now he goes and sits in the king's lap, tomorrow, eventually, he will try to sit in the throne as the prince. She doesn't want Dhruva to become the prince. You see, this is the monarchical system. Whosoever is anointed as the prince will become the king. It is like vice president in the United States. For some reason, if the president has to move away, the vice president becomes the president. So like that. Next in line, what they call, line of power. So prince. So if Dhruva occupies the throne of the prince, there will be a throne for the prince also. The king has the throne anyway, a separate, smaller throne. And whosoever occupies that throne will become the king eventually. Because in those days, even the kings, when the time comes, they retire. They hand over the power and the governance to the next king. Means they make the prince the king, anoint him as the king, and then the elderly king, he retires to the forest. They go away to the forest. They won't remain around and do tapas. That was the system, what is called vanaprasthashrama. And so, therefore, occupying the throne of the prince is very crucial. And that Dhruva is likely to do. And so Suruchi is very jealous, spiteful all about that. She is already worried. It is still a few years away, but still she is worried. Now this boy is contesting Uttama. He wants to throw Uttama away and wants to occupy father's lap. The same thing may happen tomorrow, eventually. Therefore, I have to stop this now itself. That is what she thought. And so she says, dear son, like that she addresses, you know, what's a dear son? No, get down. That is not where you have to sit. That is where my son has to sit. Of course, I know that you are the son of the king as much as Uttama, my son, is the son of the king. Yadin rupatmajaha. You are the son of the king, true. But still, you are not my son. I did not give birth to you. Though the king is the father, I am not the mother. And I am going to decide who sits on the throne. Therefore, please get down. And you run away. That is what she told. Na gruhito maya yatvam kukshavapi nrupatmajaha. Nrupatmajaha api, though you are the son of the king, yet you were not born by me. I was not bearing you in my womb, and hence you are not going to occupy that seat, that place, that position. That is what she said. Maitreya uvacha, matus sapatnya sadurukti viddha. You see, durukti means harsh words. Earlier, if you see, tabhyam krodhascha himsacha yad durukti svasa kalihi. The second verse, number is 3. So, when there is anger, it is followed by duruktihi. So, harsh words and kalihi, conflict. So, that durukti is repeated here. So, this way, the entire adharma vamshavalihi, the lineage of adharma, will be applied in this story. That is how the story is narrated. So, durukti viddhaha. Dhruva was, pierced viddhaha, pierced. It is like an arrow piercing the heart. Arrow is a physical thing, piercing the heart, causing the physical injury. Whereas arrow-like harsh words, they pierce the heart and hurt the person very badly. That is what happened to Dhruva. So, matus sapatnya sa durukti viddhaha. Svasan rusha dandahato yathahihi. Dhruva, being the elder son of the king and also being the future prince, he is given to a lot of self-respect even at the tender age. And now he felt badly insulted by the stepmother. And so much so, he was hissing in indignation like a serpent beaten with a staff. That is the description. So, prusha dandahato yathahihi shvasan. Shvasan means inhaling and exhaling with heavily making a sound because of anger, like the serpent hit by a staff. It is said that when you hit a serpent, so the cobra, if you hit it, it becomes angry and it will make a particular hissing sound. Hiss, like that it will make. Hiss, like that. So Dhruva is compared with that serpent. Very angry. அல்ல ஃபாதர் ஹித்வா மிஷந்தம் பிதரம் சன்னவாசம். ஃபாதர் வாஸ் லுக்கிங் அட் ஹெல்ப்லெஸ்லி அண்ட் ஹிஸ் வாய்ஸ் இஸ் நாட் கமிங் அவுட், ஹிஸ் நாட் ஈவன் மம்பிளிங் வேர்ட்ஸ் அண்ட் ஹி டிட் நாட் மேக் எனி எஃபர்ட் டு சப்போர்ட் த்ருவா. ஹி ஹாஸ் அபேண்டன்ட் த்ருவா without giving any support to him. He did not even physically touch him because he is afraid of Suruchi. So he doesn't want to hurt Suruchi's feelings. So he kept quiet. Jaga mamatu prarudan sakasham. When father is not giving any support, so Dhruva was even more insulted and hurt and felt abandoned, helpless. And so now he knows only one more source, that is the mother. What else can he do? So he was crying bitterly and ran to the mother. Tam nishvasantam spuritadharoshtam suniti rutsanga uduhya balam. He is a bala, he is a kid. And he is bitterly crying. And so breathing heavily, so and his lips, the lower lip is shaking with anger. That is how they say when the person is angry, his lips, the lower lip shakes. Some of them, they keep the shaking, they keep it back by biting the lower lip with the teeth, like that, anger. Why should they bite? To hold it from shaking too much. Anyway, that is how the anger, you know. Anger has the worst physiological impact. If you are angry, the entire physiology will be altered. People who take photographs all the time, which we don't really need. When a person is angry, without his knowledge, you should take his photograph. And then should not show immediately. Immediately they show also. If you show immediately, he will break that camera. So hold it back and print it and keep it. And when he becomes quiet next day, yesterday you become angry, you want to see your face when you were angry, then he says, yeah, let me see. Okay, show it. Then he will be stunned that his face can be so hideous. Anger means the lines, etc., will be very, very hideous, very abominable. You don't feel like looking at your own face when you are angry. And so that becomes a lesson. Oh, is this how I was looking at that time when I was angry? Yes. Oh my goodness. I don't want to become angry any time. That is, that much contorted the face becomes. Anger is a very bad thing. And then eyes become red, the lip quivers, and the blood sugar levels increase, the digestion comes to a stop, krodhaha. That is there in the Adharma Vamshavali, that's why I have revived it. So one should not become angry. So one should hold back. The anger is a very bad emotion. Anyway, Dhruva was angry, and his tapas is inspired by anger and hurt. It is all coming now. Anyway, when the boy was crying, Suniti took the boy into her embrace and made him sit in her lap. Nishamyatar pauramukhan nitantam sabivyathe yadgatitam sapatnya. Then she was trying to understand, why is he crying? He is unable to give a reply. Then she called one of the servant maids and asked, what happened? Why this boy is crying like this? The servant maid, she knew. The servant maids know. They move from one palace to the other. And also they talk among themselves. That's why in this country the servants, etc., won't be there. This country, everybody is his own servant or her own servant. Generally you don't find a servant maid in this country. In some cases that may, a lady also may be employed to take care of the children. Some people do that. But in India they do this all the time. In India, well-to-do people, they employ a servant. Because the labor is cheap and you can get a servant maid for some small payment. And so they come and do all kinds of things at home. They take care of the children and all that. And if the wife and husband fight among themselves, or the members of the family, they fight among themselves, the servant maid knows all that. She will be listening to all that. And then they tell outside, oh, they fight like that. They tell outside. This happens if in India, if you are living in a complex where some 10 families or 12 families are living, then there will be some servant maids coming and working. They work in 3, 4, 5 families, in each family 1 hour. And they will be carrying news from this place to that place, that place, so like that. I know that. So, a lady comes to help me in cleaning dishes and all that. And she asks me, hey Swami, where are you going? How do you know that I am going somewhere? Yeah, you made the bag, everything ready, packed and all that, you are keeping ready to go today evening, you are going. Yes, I am going. I will be away for a week, you need not come for 1 week. Oh, yes. Where are you going? Are you going to Kakinada or still going to America? She knows where I go also. I say, I will be going to Kakinada. And then next day morning when I am going with my bag, the neighbor asks, Swami, are you going to Kakinada? So I wonder, I wanted to tell also what I held back. Swamiji, did you have breakfast and coffee? They can ask that, you know. Instead of that, they ask this. So they know what is going on. The servant maids, stuff like that. She told, this is what happened, Ammagaru. She is telling Suniti. The boy was there and he wanted to sit in the father's lap. Then Suriji said some harsh words, which I cannot recount all of them, but something happened. That's why the boy is crying. That is what the servant maid conveyed. Now the mother knows. And so, Sotsurjyadhairiyam vilalapa shokadavagnina davalate vabala vakyam sapatnya smarati sarojashriyadrisha Bashpakalamuvaha. You see, the sapatni is a very peculiar situation. One man married two women, and there is an intense jealousy and a spite or unhappiness between these two women. You see what happened. There is a proverb in Telugu. The proverb is, the lady is not unhappy that much because of the harsh words of the husband, as she is unhappy that the other lady knew all about it. You got the point? So, she is unhappy, of course, that the king neglects her. She is unhappy. But she is all the more unhappy that the Suruchi, who is her rival, so she is involved in such an episode. So a hurt coming from the king, she was willing to accept it and forget and forgive and forget. But a similar hurt coming from her rival is unbearable. So that kind of human mind functions like that. So an intense frustration, jealousy, anger, and helplessness because she cannot do anything. She is utterly helpless, powerless. So, she was shaking with unhappiness, with distress. The example given is very interesting. It is like when a forest fire is raging, a creeper means very gentle and delicate it is, the creeper is getting scorched by the heat of the fire. She was like that creeper. She resembles that creeper. She is getting scorched, well, emotionally, by the insults heaped upon her by her rival, and of course with the silent assent of the king. The king keeps silent, and therefore her rival, she can do anything she wants. And so, Suniti, she lost all her courage. Dhairyam utsurujya. Now, she could not control her agony, and she was crying openly. Generally, the mother may not cry before her children, because the children will lose whatever courage they have. The mother should remain strong and help the children to face the adversity. The mother herself loses courage and cries, then the children become really, really helpless. Kind of similar situation. And then the servant's maid conveyed all the words, bad words spoken by Suruchi to her. And so she was remembering or recollecting those bad words, and she is all the more distressed to know that such words were spoken, because she has one faint hope that eventually, after a few years, if she can bear with these insults, she can keep patience and allow the time to pass, eventually her son becomes the prince. Then she need not suffer anymore. That was a faint hope she has. Now even that hope seems to be gone. And so she was crying bitterly, and then Saroja Shriya Drisha Bashpakala Mulaha. The poet says she is very beautiful. Though she is the elder wife, yet she is as beautiful as Suruchi. Maybe not as adorned as Suruchi is, as arrogant and as showy as Suruchi is, but she has that natural beauty in her. Saroja Shriya Drisha Vashpakalam Uvaha. While she was crying, the eyes shone like the lotuses. Dirgham Shvasanti Vrujinasya Parama Pashyati Balakamaha Bala. Now she lost all hope, because the faint hope of Dhruva becoming the prince is gone. And so now she doesn't see any end to this suffering. And therefore, she was very distressed and helpless, but still she gives an advice to Dhruva. Very interesting advice. So that's why she is called Suniti. So she rises above all the negativity connected with the situation. Anger, frustration, jealousy, so many things are helplessness, distress. All that negativity is there. She rises above all that and advises her son very appropriately. This could be a very interesting occasion for us to make note. She says, Ma mangalam tata pareshu maustaha bhunte jano yat paradukha dastat. So she says, dear son, you don't curse her. In fact, maybe she is telling to the son as much as she is telling to herself. Don't you curse her, Suruchi. Don't you even wish some bad things should happen to her like that, you know. Generally, people wish like that. Don't even wish like that. Because when a person suffers, the suffering seems to be given by the other, but it is not really given by the other, caused by the other. It is caused by oneself. You see, the other is only an agent. And it is like the postman. In India, the postman, earlier years, not anymore. So the postman used to bring what is called a telegram. Under this telegram, is viewed with fear. Telegram means something is dangerous. telegram. So once I remember I gave a telegram. I was young in those days, telegram, no telephones. In India there were no telephones. We never saw any telephones. So telegram. I gave a telegram. It is some office matter about option. There are three options, option A, option B, option C. This gentleman has to choose one of the options so that his pension papers can be settled. He did not settle the option. Unless he gives the option, that is what they call, giving the option, his pension papers cannot move forward. And so I gave a telegram to him. The time is coming to the end. Please give option. Like that some telegram I gave, one sentence telegram. And the word option, they have understood it as operation. Because their English was not enough to understand option. OP is there, TION is there. So they know operation. Oh my goodness, this is operation. Okay, operation is what? For them, operation means surgery. That is all they know. And surgery means some huge catastrophic disease. This is all they know. The gentleman, he took a bus and came to Hyderabad. And did not bring the option papers in any case. Very silly, I tell you. I don't know why I told that story. Postman brings the telegram. And the telegram brings bad tidings. Now, will you go and attack the postman? No. You don't attack the postman. Similarly, whosoever has brought this distress to me, he is like the postman. The distress belongs to me. That's why this man is the only an agent. It belongs to me. It is coming from Ishvara. Okay, then Ishvara is the culprit who makes me distressful. He sends distress to me. Even Ishvara is not the culprit. Ishvara gives distress because I deserve distress. Karma phala. So, this is how karma, karma phala theory has to be appreciated. And you may just understand this much and leave it alone. Don't stretch it any further. So whatever prosperity or adversity I get in life, it is what I deserve. I get only that which I deserve, whether it is prosperity or adversity. And therefore, I need not blame anybody for my suffering. I need not blame myself also. No purpose in blaming myself. No purpose is served by blaming God. Just be equanimous. Accept the adversity. Already it has lost some of its punch or some of its power to bother us or to torment us. And then eventually acceptance converts adversity. It neutralizes the adversity. Acceptance is the secret. So she says all that. Nobody gives adversity to us. We suffer because of what we have done in our earlier life. Satyam surucyabhihitam bhavanme yaddurbhagaya udare grihitaha. Suppose some person says some harsh words against me. Now generally what we do is we become angry with him. We become jealous of him. We become spiteful against him. Instead of that, what we should do is, whatever the other person spoke, is it correct or not? Just look at it. Suppose somebody said, "Hey Swamiji, you are always in a hurry, always a big hurry, which is not a good quality." Suppose somebody said that to me. Now I can become angry with him. "Oh, how can you talk like that? You should know how to respect elders," this and that I can say to him. But suppose I don't say anything to him. Okay, God bless you. Now he goes his way. Now I look at myself and I look into my mind. People should watch their minds. You should learn to watch your mind. That is a great meditation, great sadhana. So I look into myself. Now, whatever the person has pointed out, is it correct or not? It is correct. Generally, the adversary points out right things only, generally. A friend doesn't point out. A friend knows but doesn't point out. The adversary knows but points out. Because first he points out real weaknesses, real blemishes that are there in us. First he points out, oh come on, I am keeping quiet because I did not feel like hurting you. But you are such a bad guy, who doesn't know about you, he says. And that is true. That is always true, generally. And okay, what he said about me is true. Okay, God bless him. So he has done a great service to me. And then I look at that, this weakness I have. Then what happens, you know, that weakness slowly disappears. And I grow out of it. This is the way we should learn to take the other person's criticism. That is the way how to receive criticism. All criticism is welcome. You should not allow the ego to intervene. Because ego doesn't want to be criticized. Ego doesn't want to be criticized. And so you don't side with the ego. You don't support the ego. You are not the ego. You are not the ego. Then who am I? Don't bother. Don't ask that question. You are not the ego. Then who am I? There is no answer to that question. This is the answer. You are not the ego. Anyway, so she says, what she said is basically the truth. Satyam suruchyabhihitam. Because Bhavan, you are my son. I gave birth to you, not Suruchi. You look at Uttama, given birth by Suruchi, and what is his status. And then she says that you cannot reach that state, that position, because you are not her son. That is the fact. Though she said it, therefore we may become angry, but that happens to be the fact. Stanyena vruddhascha vilajyate yam bharyetiva vodhumidaspatim mam. The fact remains that the king does not pay attention to me, he doesn't give respect to me, he doesn't show that reverence to me as the elder wife, and he doesn't treat you with the same love which he showers on her son. Obviously, I am neglected by him, and therefore some of my misfortune rubs upon you. And so we have to seek a way out of this misfortune. And blaming Suruchi, throwing abuses at her, is not the way out. Certainly not the way out. Then what could be the way out? The misfortune is there. What could be the way out?
Aradhayadhokshajapadapadmam yadichase dhyasanamuttamo yatha.
Dear son, you want to sit on a high seat, on an exalted seat like the throne of the king or the lap of the king, that is where you want to sit. You see Uttama doing that, and therefore you want to occupy such an exalted place. My advice to you is, don't compete with Uttama. Don't do that. Because in that competition you cannot stand any chance. Whereas, you leave Uttama alone. That is not the only exalted seat. That the king's throne is not the only exalted seat. In this creation, there are even more exalted seats than that. And you can accomplish even more exalted seat or position. Seat is not a physical seat, a position, by worshipping Ishvara. Aradhaya adhokshaja padapadmam. Therefore, undertake intense devotion to the lotus feet of Ishvara, Sri Hari, and then worship and worship and worship. And then Sri Hari will grant you
an opportunity to occupy a very exalted position in life, in general terms. That is the only way I can see, a way out I can see. Competing with Uttama is not the right thing. You will not stand any chance, because I happen to be a lady of misfortune, and my misfortune will continue to rub upon you. That is what she said.
Tatha manurvo bhagavan pitamahah yamekamatya purudakshinaim makhaihi ishtvabhipede duravapamanyatah bhaumam sukham divyamathapavaryam.
You see, the grandfather, Svayambhuva Manu, is still alive. Not around though. Once Uttanapada came to occupy the throne, Svayambhuva Manu, along with Shatarupa, has withdrawn into the forest. And he is there in the forest, doing a great penance. And he is already well known for his life of religiosity and spirituality, so much so, after a long life of karma yoga, followed by intense devotion, etc., and a great penance performed while living in the forest, the Svayambhuva Manu has already acquired self-knowledge, and he is an enlightened soul, a jivan mukta, means he is a liberated soul. He is there in the forest. He is your grandfather. Now, father cannot be any more a source of inspiration for Dhruva, because father being what he is not going to inspire you or help you or support you. Now you take inspiration from your grandfather. It works like this. Generally, when the grandfather becomes the source of inspiration for the grandchildren. The grandchildren, the young man, suppose he fights with his father, then he goes near to the grandfather. Because it is between father and son, there is always conflict. So, then there is conflict between the father and son. Therefore, the son and grandfather come near to each other, you know. That is how the law works, you know. So, that always happens. So, you look up to your grandfather. He is not around, but still, you look up to him. Don't look up to your father and try to compete with Uttama. You are not going to move any forward. Whereas if you look up to your grandfather, that can be a great source of inspiration, because he worshipped Ishvara very effectively and he became self-realized. And therefore, she is not suggesting that she should go for self-realization and all that. She is suggesting worship of Ishvara in that area, in that aspect, you get inspiration from your grandfather. This grandfather, Svayambhuva Manu, he will come at the end of the story, the later part of the story, he will make an appearance. But now, we had a reference to him.
Tameva vatsashraya bhutya vatsalam mumukshubhim rugya padabhya paddhatin ananya bhave nija dharma bhavite manasya vasthapya bhajasva purusham.
She says, dear son, you worship Ishvara, Shri Hari. You take refuge in Shri Hari. Shri Hari doesn't give up his devotee. He will certainly support and help his devotee to fulfill his goals. The devotee will be able to fulfill his goals by the blessings of Ishvara, certainly. Unlike the father who did not support Dhruva, Ishvara will not give up like your father did. That is the hint. And so, not only people who want self-realization and moksha worship Shri Hari, but also people who want to accomplish certain worldly ends, so they also worship Ishvara. So, yo yadi chati tasya tat. If you worship Ishvara for a worldly end, you will get it. You are likely to get it if you deserve it. If you worship Ishvara for moksha, mumukshuhihi, so for moksha, you will get moksha. So, worshipping Ishvara And taking refuge in Ishvara is a sure shot. Whereas, depending upon the worldly people and hoping that they will help us to reach our goals, that is not a sure shot. It works and it doesn't work. Whereas you take refuge in Ishvara and work hard to accomplish your goal, you are sure to win. Therefore, please do that. What you do is, you keep Ishvara in your heart all the time. So pray to God and work hard. You will reach your goal. That is the advice she gives. Nanyam tatah padmapalashalochanat dukkhachitante mrugayami kanchana yo mrugyate hastagrihita padmaya shriye tarairanga vimrugyamanaya. This verse is quite often quoted by scholars of Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam Sanskrit is a bit shaking. I mean, you should be quite well grounded in Sanskrit to make the verses meaningful. But some of you who know Sanskrit, it's to some extent, can make out the meaning while I read it. Because I break it and even while reading, if the student is smart enough, he can get something out of it. That is how it is read. Those of you who know Sanskrit, I am addressing them. Anyway, she says, dear son, you do not have any hope with anybody else except Ishvara. Ishvara is your only hope. You see, this is how bhakti has to be realized. Bhakti means the devotion to Ishvara has to be realized. It can be really realized in one's heart only when you are saturated with the world. As long as you believe that money, position, power, name and fame, social connections, and then family relations, all these things can support me, insurance companies, so all these systems can give support to me. As long as you believe like that, your devotion is never complete. It is not convincing even to yourself. You may be visiting temples, you may be doing rituals, all those things you may be doing, but you are neither here nor there. One leg here, one leg there. Partly here, partly there. Means you psychologically depend upon the world, and also more out of fear than love, you worship Ishvara also. Generally in religion, people worship God more out of fear. They do Grihapravesham and worship God because not because there is an intrinsic love for God, but because I made a home with a lot of effort and put a lot of money into it and made it a very big struggle I went through. And now God should not play spoil sport. Everything else is well taken care. The architect, the engineer, everybody did their job. God alone has to do his job in a negative sense. Means he should not play spoil sport. He can play spoil sport in many, many unimaginable ways because he is God. And so, at least be nice to that extent. Okay, how to accomplish that? Do this puja. Okay, chalo. Let us do this and be done with it. When we have spent so much money on all these silly things, so many things, why not do this also? This is how they worship. This is how more out of fear God is worshipped. By default he is worshipped more out of fear than out of love, generally. All worldly people are like that. To the extent we have worldliness in us, worldly people means not that they live in some separate colony, that worldliness is in us. And to that extent, the love to God is lacking. To that extent, it is inhibited, the love. It cannot bloom. But if you are saturated with the world, that is how the truth is that. So, You do not belong to the world. You are not in league with the world. You belong to Ishvara. You are a part of Ishvara. Amaivamsho jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatanaha. You belong to Ishvara. You came from Ishvara. You will go back to Ishvara. All these people and relations, possessions, etc. are incidental. They are like, they come in the middle and go away in the middle. Ultimately, you are left with Ishvara. He is the only refuge that you have. Everything else is incidental, plays some small role for a short while and then disappears. Money, bank account, possessions, home, jewelry, all kinds of wealth, real estate, here, back in India, elsewhere. All of this will remain at a distance. When the chips are down, all these will remain at a distance. Only your connectedness with Ishvara in your heart can save. Nothing else can save. But human being has to realize that it is not easy, because all these things are supposed to be very tangible. Bank account, money, positions, relations. These are very tangible, very clear. Their worth is very clear. Whereas the connectedness with God in heart, etc., it is not tangible in that sense. So, and its worth or its value, it is not as clear as the value of an insurance policy. And that is the problem. That comes in the way of realizing the true devotion. So that obstacle one has to overcome. That obstacle you have to overcome. And understand that all these so-called tangible support systems are worthless. They are not worthy of even a dime. They are worthless. Only your connectedness in heart with Ishvara, in your heart, Ishvara in you, your connectedness with the God within you, that alone can save the day. This is the truth, and this one has to realize, this one has to recognize and realize in his heart. Anyway, coming back to this verse, she says, your suffering cannot be put an end to by anybody except Ishvara. That is how I feel. That is my considered opinion. I do not see anybody, because even the grandfather is nowhere around. He is somewhere in the forest. His address is not known. Where can they search for him? So, even the grandfather can inspire through memory only, not in person. And so now who else can help us? Only Ishvara. And then she gives an interesting description. In this creation, everybody is after money. Shriya, even Indra, itarai ranga vimrugyamanaya. Look at the world, the rich people, what are they doing? They are worshipping the goddess of wealth for more money. What about poor people? They are worshipping the goddess of wealth for some money. So, both poor and rich are worshipping only same goddess. And then powerful, they are worshipping the goddess of wealth for more power. Those who do not have power are still worshipping the goddess of wealth for some power. Then Indra, he is worshipping the goddess of wealth, Shri, because he wants to retain his power and his wealth of the heavens. Everybody is worshipping Shri. And what Shri is, Shri means goddess of wealth, Lakshmi. What is she doing? She is searching for Vishnu, Shri Hari. So she is Hasta Grihita Padmaya. So she holds a lotus in her hand. And she is looking, where is the Shri Hari? Where is the Shri Hari? Like that she is looking for Shri Hari. This Hasta Grihita Padmaya, it is the old fashioned way of holding a vanity bag. That is the Hasta Grihita Padmaya. In those, if you see Avalokiteshvara and Ellora caves, etc., where the princesses hold a lotus, even the prince holds a lotus in his hand. that is considered very fashionable and aesthetic way of doing things. Very aesthetic it is, holding a lotus in hand. That is what Lakshmi Devi is doing, and while holding it in her hand, she is going all over in search of Sri Hari. Sri Hari keeps himself occasionally away from her, so that she will not take him for granted too much. So she keeps himself away from her, and she is in search of him. Whereas the entire creation is worshipping her. She neglects the entire creation and goes after search of Sri Hari. So now what is the message from that? You go directly and search for Sri Hari. Avoid all the intermediaries. So don't seek wealth and other things. Directly take refuge in Sri Hari. Don't take refuge in wealth and power and possessions, etc. That is the symbolism associated with it. Maitreya Uvacha. This is the story being told by Maitreya to Vidura. Vidura Maitreya Samvada. That is the context. Evam sanjalpitam maturakanyarthagamam vachah sanniyam yatmanatmanam nishchakrama pituh puran. Okay, he got the message and he stopped crying. Her message was very profound. And so, she at once rose above the human weakness of the mind and she gave him a sterling advice. And so, he received that message. He was angry and very hurt, but he controlled his mind. He kept this anger away. Rise above the incidents. That particular incident, you should rise above that. You should not get caught within the confines of the incident. Oh, she said this to me, that happened this way, this happened that way. People are wrapped up in their conflicts. One should not be like that. Leave it alone. Whatever one said. Whatever they did. It is up to them to correct themselves, not my lookout, to correct everybody, to convince everybody. That is not the way to do it. So you just raise above the details of the incident, the confines of the incident. The ego wants to stay with the incident. Don't give the ego such a chance. Raise above that and then look at life with an openness. And then mark your course, move forward. One should be like that. So, he did just the same. He kept aside all his anger and jealousy, anger towards the stepmother and jealousy towards the younger brother. He left all those things aside and decided to worship Lord Sri Hari. And how to do that? All inspiration from the grandfather. Grandfather went to forest to worship Ishvara. I should do the same. Therefore, he left home without telling even mother. He just left the palace, went out to the street, and started walking, and left the town, and he entered into the forest. He has already abandoned home. Nāradastadupākanyajñātvātasya-cikīrṣitam spraṣṭvā-mūrdhanya-ghadhanena pāṇinā-prāha-viṣmitaha. Narada Maharshi. Now another interesting character enters into the story. Generally, people have an impression about Narada. This impression came from cinemas, movies, you know. Very unfortunately, many of the Hindus have the knowledge of their religion from movies and the TV serials. So, Shiva Puran, see TV serial. So, then like that. Ramayana TV serial came. It was a nice serial. They have done a job of it. You see, in that serial, the person who made that serial, so one big man, what he did, you know, the story, the script, for this serial is based on the following. And below he gave the names of half a dozen Ramayanas. Suppose he said from Valmiki Ramayana, suppose he said that. Then anybody can verify, one who knows Valmiki Ramayana can verify whether this script is faithful or not. Now he says Valmiki Ramayana, Tulasi Ramayana, Kamba Ramayana, Ananda Ramayana, Adhyatma Ramayana, this Ramayana, that Ramayana. Seven of them. Now he is free to do anything he likes. Because now you cannot question him, he can do anything he likes. This is how movies and TV serials are made. And they are the source of our knowledge. So that becomes a small problem occasionally. Anyway, so Narada means he is a rishi and a devarishi, a celestial sage, but moving around everywhere, he doesn't need any visa, etc. Like an American passport holder can visit 134 countries without a visa. Whereas Indian passport guy can visit only one country without visa, that is Nepal. Nowhere else he can go without a visa. So, anyway, so this Narada is like an American citizen. American citizen can walk anywhere. Earlier, they could go to Brazil also without visa, but recently after 9/11, they put condition, Brazilians should have visa, okay? Then you also should have visa to come to our place. Like that, some restrictions came now. Otherwise, earlier, before 9/11, American passport holder can go almost anywhere in the world, except Cuba and North Korea and Iran. They can go anywhere they like. So, Narada is like that. And so, he can go to anywhere, any loka and all that. And then, Narada, what will he do? He talks with the husband and goes to the wife and tells all these things with her and then collects her reaction and comes back to the husband and tells him and then they start fighting and he will be watching from above saying Narayana Narayana. This is the cinema Narada. That is very bad, I tell you. In Bhagavatam, Narada is the author of Bhakti Sutras, Narada Bhakti Sutra. That is how the tradition takes it. And then in the Bhakti tradition, Narada is revered very highly. Narada is the patriarch for devotion. He is the Bhakta Pitamaha. So for Bhakti you have to go to Narada. Narada Bhakti Sutras are there, and then Narada's involvement in Ramayana. So Valmiki wrote Ramayana because Narada advised him to do so. And Vyasa wrote Mahabharata because once again Narada advised him to do so. Then Vyasa wanted somebody, I can only dictate, I cannot sit and write on these palm leaves or whatever. It was a stellum or something is there. Some metallic thing you have to write with that. I cannot do that. I can dictate fast. Somebody has to write. I don't know who can be a shorthand writer for me or a secretary for me for writing this story, that epic. Then Narada gave the advice. Lord Ganesha is the one to do that for you. So this is how Narada plays a very crucial role. Then even in Bhagavatam, if you see Prathamaskandha, I was teaching all this, Narada's birth, Narada's previous life history, etc. is there, and he is one of the greatest of the devotees. He is the kingpin of devotees of Ishvara in this entire creation. That is what Narada is. And he is not creating conflict between people. That is not at all true. That is not how it is presented. But then these stories, they proliferate, they grow endlessly. And so you find these stories and the cinema people take some masala they want for the picture, you know. Anything sensational they want. And in Indian movies, the role of Narada is always played by a comedian. A comedian, a silly guy, in Shakespeare's drama, who would have played the role of a fool? That gentleman would play the role of Narada. So this gives a wrong impression to people about Narada. Naram ajnanam dhyati khandayati iti Naradaha, that is his name. So he dispels the ignorance. And he is the patriarch of bhakti. Therefore, anywhere in this world, there is a bhakta, a devotee, striving to worship Ishvara, Narada will appear there and help the bhakta, a true devotee. Narada will certainly help. That is how Bhagavatam presents it. And so Narada already understood. He knows everything. He moves everywhere and he knows. It occurred to him, a small boy, for whatever reason, for accomplishing whatever goals, he is going to worship, he is entering the forest with the sole aim of worshipping Sri Hari. My goodness, this is something. And now how can I keep quiet? I have to go and help him. He's a kid. What he knows about worshipping Sri Hari, it is not easy. Even the sages with white beards, etc., are unable to understand how to worship Sri Hari in a proper way. Even they are not sure how to worship Sri Hari. How this boy can do that? So, I should find out what is going on. So he arrived there and talked with him. So, why are you going to the forest? I want to worship Sri Hari. Do penance. Penance means austerity. Tapas. Tapas, I am translating it as penance. Generally, penance means some guilt, etc. will be associated, but that is not there here. Just tapas. Severe austerity. That is what is called tapas. So I will be using the same word. So he is going to perform intense tapas. And so that is what I want to do. I have this goal in mind. I have to occupy the most exalted position in this entire creation. And that I can get only from Sri Hari. And therefore I will do penance, tapas, to propitiate Lord Sri Hari. This is what Dhruva told. Then Narada was surprised. Then Vismitaha, he was amazed. But then the boy is small, but his goals are not small. Very exalted goals he has in his mind. So he touched his head with his hand. So, sprushtva murdhani panina, touched with the hand, on the head. Aghaghnena, so Narada's hand, when it touches, it removes all the sorrow, all the impurities of the mind, etc. So he touched with his hand, and now he is advising him. Narada uvacha, nadhuna pyavamanante sammanam vapiputraka. Lakshayamah kumarasya sattasya kredanadishu. So, the aspiration of Dhruva is very well appreciated by Narada, but he is testing. This is what is called as sthuna nikhanana nyaya. So when you fix a post in the ground, you shake it and see. Like after fixing the mic, just to do like this and see whether it holds. So similarly, he is asking Dhruva, he is testing Dhruva, can he withstand? I mean, the goals are there, and so you test the perseverance or his determination, you test it, it may become weak. So then the boy can be sent home, that is better. So he is testing him. Dear son, there is a small boy. What do you know about insult or honor? Honor, respect, reverence, the opposite insult, censure. What do you know about these things? These are matters of the elders that engage the brains of elders, not you kid. This is the age of playing with toys. Kredana means toys. All kinds of toys are there. So the children play with toys. What they call toys or us and all that. So some toys you give to the kids, they play. What do they know about penance and all that? Tapas. Parituṣye tataska tatavan matrena purushaha daivopasaditam yavat vikshyeshvara gatimbuthaha. Okay. In the present situation, the chance of you becoming the prince is not there. That is your complaint. You can be satisfied what you have. Let Uttama become the king. And you can live in the palace and eat happily and sit in some corner and do your work. Relax. Take life easy. Why not do that? So, why not be contented with what little you get in the palace? Why should you compete with Uttama? Why should you get equal to Uttama? Or why should you become the next prince just because you happen to be the elder son? Let Uttama become. Why do you worry about all those things? This is how he tried to discourage Dhruva. Just he is testing. Adamatropadishtena yoge navarutsasi yat prasadam savai pumsan duraradhyo mato mama. You see, here the sadhana, the pursuit, the tapas is always compared with climbing the mountain. Always the comparison is like that. It starts from Gita. In Gita 6th chapter, so you have this verse, Arurukshor Muner Yogam Karma Karana Muchyate Yoga Rudhasya Tasyaiva Shamah Karana Muchyate. So the pursuit, the sadhana, what we call sadhana, is there. The sadhana is like climbing the mountain. Sadhana is not like walking on the road. It is like climbing the mountain. Even when you go for a walk, you have to choose a place where there's some slope is there. And you should exert the heart, the body. While climbing the slope up, you will exert. Suppose you do not exert, just like the bridegroom party, you walk on the sidewalk slowly. No exercise happens, you know. So you have to climb up. And that is the sadhana is like that. So otherwise what happens, you know, we enjoy all the comforts and we don't skip breakfast, we don't skip coffee, we don't skip tea, snacks, food, everything should be in, comfortable and the lecture hall should be air-conditioned and so all comforts are in place. Then only we listen to Vedanta or we do some yoga, etc. So there is a name for it. This is called Yappi Yoga. That is how they call it. Yappi Yoga. There are some yoga centers which offer Yappi Yoga. I have come across one such center recently. So you should not opt for that. You should not shy away from hard work. And some challenges you should accept wholeheartedly. And because all sadhana is invariably compared with climbing a mountain. So in climbing a mountain, you will be open to some difficulties and adversities. The opposites will be there. You will be open to face the opposites with equanimity. That is one quality. Second quality, you travel light. These are the two qualities of a mountain climber. These two qualities they should have. And we should take a cue from these mountaineers and adopt these two qualities. Namely, be willing to face the opposites of life, the vicissitudes of life. So be equanimous in prosperity as well as adversity. Then you are now on the way. Secondly, you travel light. Means, make life simple, orderly and disciplined. These two qualities. Equanimity in the face of the opposites. One, I am recounting again. Two, simple, orderly and disciplined life. These are the two qualities. Then you are on the journey. That's why always the sadhana is compared with climbing the mountain. This is why you find a temple on the mountain top. Always they keep a temple on the mountain top for this reason. Because you go up the mountain by walk. They go up the mountain by walk. Suppose in Tirupati, the Lord Balaji is there in Andhra Pradesh. They go up by bus, by car, by ghat road and all that. And also, they are now planning to have a rope way. So sit in the rope way, like these ski people do. They sit in the bucket or in the chair, and it puts them on the top. And from there, stand like this and come down. And after coming down again, sit in the bucket and it puts you in the top. So, that kind of a rope way they are planning. Many sadhu sant log, the mahatmas, they are opposing it. Because having a temple, the Lord of seven hills means the devotees should go up seven hills. Satta bhumika, that is also symbolism. Seven steps are there. Here I mentioned two steps, you know, two qualities. So, that if you remove that, then the Daiva Darshanam, etc., it has no sanctity. It has lost all its sanctity. So this guy sits in helicopter and lands on the top. And immediately one chauffeur-driven car is waiting for him. He steps out of the helicopter and sits in the car. And the air-conditioned car leaves him at the main gate of the temple. And the temple authorities are waiting for him there at the main gate because he happens to be a rich man. So they are waiting for him at the temple gate. And they take him through a separate line in which there are no people, only they are there. They take him directly into the inner shrine. There he sees the murti and does namaskar. And they give him teertham and prasadam. And does some namaskar and gives hefty dakshinas to all the purohits and other people concerned there. And not only to purohits, he gives a hefty dakshina to Lord Venkateshwara also. A bundle he gives to Lord Venkateshwara and he comes out. And immediately sits in the car and goes to the guest house where a four-course breakfast is waiting for him. And so four or five items of breakfast you put there. Idli, vada, dosha, and some sweet, and some fruits, and also a few other things you put. Ah, breakfast, you know, some simple breakfast. And he eats all of that, and had a nice breakfast, and then sits in the helicopter, comes to the airport, sits in the private plane, and goes back to Bombay. This is, so morning at 6 or 6:30 he starts at home. And by the time he returns to Bombay at 10 o'clock, he has finished his breakfast in Tirupati. This is how they do. Some of them they do like that. That has no beauty of Ishvara Darshan. It becomes very routine, mechanical and repetitive. And so that is not the way. Sadhana is in the form of a mountain, climbing the mountain. Anywhere you look at sadhana description, it is always compared with climbing the mountain. That is the symbology associated with it. That's why a temple is put on the mountain, a mountain top. Anyway, so yogena avarurutsasi. So this is Gita language it is. So you want to live the life of yoga and elevate yourself to that higher state of spirituality. If that is the goal you want to accomplish, and that is your the advice given to you by mother? No. It is a very difficult path to undertake. Even for elevated people, elderly people, it is a hard task. What to speak of you? You are a kid. Munaya padavim yasya nisange noru janmabhihi navidur mrugayantopi tevra yoga samadhina. The munis, the contemplative people, elderly people who are saturated with the world, they are living a life of contemplation by giving up all attachments, nisangena. This they could accomplish by the living a life of virtue over a number of births. So bahunam janmanam ante, like that, they should reach a position, a stage where they remain unattached to the world, and they live in contemplation, and then they practice a very intense tapas. Yet, they are unable to propitiate Sri Hari, know Him, or gain the grace of Sri Hari. Even they could not accomplish that. What to speak of you, a small kid?
Ato nivartata mesha nirbandhastava nishthalaha yatishyati bhavan kale shreyasam samupasthite
yatsam. Your pursuit is meaningless. It is bound to fail. Therefore, my advice to you is go home. I will show you the way. I will walk with you. Drop you back in your palace. Go to your parents. And then again, from tomorrow onwards, you can play and the mother will be there. Uttama will be there. Somebody will become the king. When the time comes, maybe you can make one more effort. When time comes, maybe after a few years, you can try with your father. Dear father, I happen to be elder son, this and that. So, that may be the pursuit. Why do you want to go to the forest and do tapas, etc.? So, go home.
Dhruva uvacha padam tribhuvanot krushtam jigisho sadhu vartname bruhyasmat pitruvir brahman anyairapyanadhishthitam.
You see, I have condensed the, there is some abridgment from numbers you can make out. Anyway, Dhruva says, "Yes, sir, thank you very much for your kind advice. I understand what all you said, but now I want this advice from you, namely, I am going to pursue my chosen path. I am not going to give it up. The decision is already taken. My mother's advice only I am following." And so, though he came out without telling the mother, the advice is basically given by mother only. I am not going back to my father seeking a position and all that. I do not want to compete with Uttama at that level, or at his level. At that level, I don't want to compete with him. This is my goal. I have to occupy such an exalted position which can never be occupied by anybody in this world. Leave alone Uttama. Not even, it was never occupied by my parents or elders, whosoever it is. I have to occupy a position which is the most exalted of all people, of all times. That I want to do. Now, my mother says, worship of Sri Hari is the path. If that is so, please advise me in that direction. I don't want any other advice.
Maitreya uvacha ityudahrutamakanya bhagavan naradastada pretas pratyahatam balam sadvakyam anukampaya.
Narada is very pleased because he made a test and the boy withstood the test. Not only withstood, he passed with flying colors. And so he was very happy. Bhagavan Naradaha, the revered sage Narada. And then, with a lot of compassion, he is now advising Dhruva.
Narada uvacha jananyabhihitah panthaha samai nishreyasasyate bhagavan vasudevastam bhajatat pravanatmana.
So from here we will continue tomorrow. He is going to give a perfect advice to Dhruva, and so he says, for gaining the goal that you have set before you, the path is just the same as described by your mother. She told you the correct path. Only thing is, she could not give details of the path because she never expected this boy will run away now itself. And I will fill in the details. But the path is already chosen by your mother. So I will do the job and I am sure you will reach your goal. So all this we will see tomorrow. Om Purnamada Purnamada. Purnamada.
పూర్ణమేవాశిష్యే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. హరి ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం తత్సత్. శ్రీ కృష్ణ పరమస్తు.